Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. It is hump day. That's right, Wednesday, August 2, 2017. And we've got a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there, as we always do, right? On today's current sports, we will continue our week-long high school football preview series as we will again welcome another local high school football coach that looks to, of course, have a great year as we are now just officially one day away from the start of high school football here in mid-Michigan. A few schools do open up the season tomorrow night, with the majority of our local teams opening up, of course, on Friday night. But today we will talk with Chad Foster, who has been around the Lansing Everett football program for quite some time, but this will be his first year moving into the role of head coach of the Lansing Everett High School football team. Marcel Carruthers, who of course was inducted into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame this past summer. Carruthers, who was the previous coach of the Vikings, has now taken on a role as principal at Lansing Eastern High School. So now a young Chad Foster will take over as the new head man in charge for the Vikings. Foster will join us around the 1:30 p.m. mark to talk about how he is moving into and adjusting to this new role. You don't want to miss that. We will also talk about an interesting survey done by ESPN, which actually ranked the happiest fan bases in the world of college football. And I think many of you will be quite surprised as to where Michigan State fell on that list. You don't want to miss that. We'll also briefly continue our conversation on now former Michigan State football player Tyo Lacusa, who decided to leave the program just simply because he was not in love with the game of football anymore. But he has found a new home elsewhere. So we'll continue that conversation in which we ended the show last current sports with. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk about a blockbuster trade from the National Basketball Association that has everyone a buzzing. And Kid Rock, the Detroit native, trashing Colin Kaepernick at his latest concert. Oh, that should be an interesting combo. That and more. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via Facebook.com/currentsports, where we are currently live streaming the show, as we always do. Leave us a comment below the live stream. I'll read it live here on our airwaves and even tweet us via Twitter, at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, MSU football fans, today is the day. Michigan State football fans of all ages are invited to attend the 15th annual Meet the Spartans from 5 to 8 p.m. over at Spartan Stadium. 11th year Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio and members of the 2017 football team will be available for autographs on the concourse right inside the stadium. Parking is totally free, with the lots opening at 3 p.m. and all of the stadium gates will open at 5. Admission totally free. Here's how the format will unfold today. Similar to last year, as offensive players will be available for autographs from 5:30 to 6:30, defensive players from 6:30 to 7:30, and then Coach D will be available for autographs from 6:30 to 7:30 on the north end of the stadium in the Engagement Center. Autograph stations will be positioned on the south, west, and north concourses right inside the building. Now, free 2017 schedule posters will also be available throughout the concourse. Fans will also have the chance to visit the playing field, take photos wearing a Spartan helmet, shoulder pads, and jersey, tour the press box, and also describe a memorable moment as play-by-play announcer, much like, of course, George Blaha does each and every Saturday for MSU. MSU cheerleaders and dance team will also perform on the field throughout the event. Children will also have the opportunity to meet Sparty and pose for photos with the popular mascot on the field. Apparel will be on sale, and food and preseason magazines will also be provided. All right, there are 128 teams in the FBS and 128 fan bases. And according to a new study released by ESPN, Michigan State fans are the 115th happiest or the 13th most unhappy group in college football. Ah, that's interesting, right? That's a very interesting ranking. We're going to dive more into that in just a moment. But ESPN ranked MSU fans as distraught by a combination of a slew of factors, from revenue growth to program power. But the three factors that seem to be holding MSU back, well, coaching stability, Twitter buzz, and rivalry dominance, all saw the Spartans post single-digit ratings in a scale that ranks from 0 to 100. Now, to compile the misery, Ohio State fans came in as the happiest, and Michigan fans were a respectable 22nd. Michigan State fans were found to be the least happy in the Big Ten, even worse, yes, than lowly Rutgers. Sorry, Sparty. We'll dive into why that is so in just a moment. Oh, that's a ridiculous ranking, isn't it? All right, yesterday we brought you news of Detroit Lions president Rod Wood, who was trying to lure the NFL draft to the D with NFL commissioner Roger Goodell in town. Well, today, it appears that Wood's pitch was pretty persuasive. Goodell took a tour of the $100 million renovations to Ford Field and told fans and reporters that he was impressed. He said, quote, "I assume that it's using the stadium in some fashion, and after seeing what I saw today, I think that's a good thing," end quote. The commissioner also noted that the region's fans might help their case, but cautioned that there was plenty of competition for future drafts and Super Bowls as well. All right, Kid Rock, yeah, the Michigan rock star, was not about to mince words when talking about Colin Kaepernick. While performing at the Iowa State Fair, Kid Rock went after the former 49ers QB, who, of course, began kneeling during the national anthem, saying, quote, "Football is about ready to start. You know what? Blank Colin Kaepernick." I think you guys know what blank actually alluded to. That word, allegedly. Yeah, thank you, Isaac. Thank you for that. that was right on cue. Good stuff, man. Rock made headlines recently by teasing a senatorial run for office in the near future. Cap, meanwhile, remains without an NFL job. Over the weekend, 12 Cleveland Browns players carried on his message by kneeling for the national anthem. This is going to be an ongoing topic throughout the NFL season. All right, the ice was laid down at LCA, Little Caesars Arena, last week to usher in the Detroit Red Wings season. And on Tuesday, the hardwood found its way home. As the Detroit Pistons continue preparations for their move downtown, the NBA court was officially rolled out. The team published a series of tweets recording the installation. Center Andre Drummond took a tour of the new arena on Monday, donning a construction hat and neon workers uniform. Now, the Pistons begin the preseason on October 4th at LCA against the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets will also play the villain for the Pistons' first regular season game in their new building, which will take place on October 18th. Starting pitcher Matt Boyd was again poor. as was the Detroit offense. And the Tigers were pummeled by the New York Yankees 13-4 on Tuesday. The lefty made it just 3 1/3 innings, giving up 7 runs on 7 hits. He walked 3, struck out 2. In the first inning, the Yanks' Gary Sanchez's 2-run homer put the gears in motion. The skyrocket landed 493 feet away from home plate. Good for the longest home run recorded at Comerica Park since MLB StatCast was introduced back in 2015. From there, it got worse, though. In relief of Boyd, righty Warwick Sopold. He allowed 2 runs on 4 hits in 2 1/3 innings of work. And righty Drew Verhagen. He allowed 2 runs on 3 hits in 2 1/3 innings as well. Now, the Tigers now sit at a lowly 54-70 on the year. The second game of the series is tonight at 7:10 p.m. Watching the Tigers just hurt your eyes. So it's kind of like the eclipse, Isaac. Just watching the Tigers, man, just bring some shades, brother. It's like watching the eclipse, man.
That's a great idea. You want to block it out. You can use those glasses for more than one thing.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. Bring your Ray-Bans, right? All right. SI, Sports Illustrated swimsuit model Kate Upton, was a part of the Workout with the Marines, an event organized by the Wins for Warriors Foundation, a group founded by Upton's fiance and Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander. 5 other members of the Tigers' wives and significant others of the Detroit Tigers players participated in the exercise alongside Upton. The workout raised awareness for the Detroit Marine Week, which is a week-long event honoring the Marine Corps and their families through more than 80 community outreach activities throughout Metro Detroit, according to a Marine Week news release. Now, the events will take place September 6th to the 10th. Also, want to remind you guys that later on this hour, we will have Jason Fuller a part of the show. Of course, he is a member of the United States military, and he will talk about a very cool charity event that is on the horizon. You don't want to miss that. And last but not least, PGA Tour Champions and Alley Financial Incorporated announced yesterday a new event to be contested in Grand Blanc, Michigan, beginning next year. The challenge will debut the week of September 10th to the 16th. 2018, a longtime PGA Tour venue, Warwick Hills Golf and Country Club, which actually hosted the Buick Open for 45 years through 2009. The tourney will feature a $2 million purse with a 3-year agreement in place through 2020. About 78 PGA Tour champions players will vie for that $2 million purse. Funding for the prize will come from sponsors, ticket sales, hospitality sales, and other sources. All right, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Be a part of the show by simply picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. Let's start the show.
Linebackers who replaced Bulla here today. He's in on this play. How about that for the youngster who came to Michigan State as a walk-on originally? In the biggest game of his career, he did not go with the team to the off-the-field functions except the ones that they required to. He studied film all week long, and now he comes up with a huge play.
Interesting that they go with the lead back, the fullback, Hewitt, instead of going with the big tailback. The lead blockers leading the way for Gaffney, but instead they try to sneak in a quick dive play to Ryan Hewitt. Did not catch Michigan State off guard. Ellsworth elevates, and how fitting that Harris is involved there as well to make that play. And they will review it just to confirm the spot.
Nothing ever could, yeah. Oh, well, I'll keep holding on. I'll keep holding on. I'll keep holding on. I'll keep holding on.
Yeah, a lot of Michigan State fans out there are holding on to the possibility that MSU football will get back to where it was prior to last year. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Wanted to kind of reminisce to start today's show. Big moment in the Rose Bowl a few years back. It feels like yesterday, doesn't it? It really does. When Kyle Ellsworth came up with that huge stop, linebacker Darian Harris and team captain Darian Harris right to his left, both making an extraordinary play to stop Stanford and to win the first Rose Bowl for Michigan State since 1988. You know, they've been to the Cotton Bowl, they've been to the College Football Playoff, and then they go 3-9. And as I mentioned in our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, ESPN decided to, of course, fuel the college football fandom by ranking the happiness of 128 FBS schools. The happiness. It's so interesting when you evaluate the criteria for this. And I can't help but think, as I went through and tried to find Michigan State, I had to actually, when this came out on the front page of ESPN.com, I had to scroll a few times because I at first couldn't find Michigan State. I thought they would at least be in the top 50. But no. Michigan State comes in at 115. 115. I kid you not. And I can't help but imagine that a few years ago, let's say, you know, Michigan State coming off a college football playoff year, I would expect Michigan State to at least be in the top 50. But 115? MSU fans, are you that unhappy? I have to ask you guys that. You guys tune in each and every weekday here on the show, and I'm curious to know what you guys think about this 115th ranking. 115th in the football bowl subdivision in fan happiness in this study conducted by ESPN. That ranking is the worst among all Big Ten schools. I don't know if I believe that when evaluating the entire Big Ten, and when you bring up teams like, especially Rutgers, you're telling me Rutgers college football fans are more happy than Michigan State? I guess that's what a 3-9 year, coupled with the fact that there were many off-season negative stories. I guess what that alludes to, right? A very unhappy fan base. 115. That really got me. You know, you look at the factors for this study. Program power, which according to this study is a combination of strength of records from 2012 to 2016. Michigan State had great success in that time span. Also, in combination with that, as it relates to program power, current FPI compared to recent history. So there you have that 3-9 year, right? Also, rivalry dominance, a combination of wins above expectations, over rivals in the past five seasons, and how a team's FPI compares to its rivals. And I don't really understand that one, because Michigan State's biggest rival in Michigan you know, prior to last season, MSU has beaten Michigan 7 of the last 8 years. That's interesting. Coaching stability. You know, is a coach on the hot seat or not? Recruiting trends, revenue growth, and Twitter buzz. That's an interesting one, really. Twitter buzz. I don't know how in the world you measure Twitter buzz. I guess how many mentions a certain program gets on Twitter, but then again, a lot of those mentions can be negative or positive. So I feel bad for the brother who actually had to measure Twitter buzz. The report goes on to say, quote, the Football Power Index projects Michigan State to have another losing season this year, and apparently the fans can sense it. Now, I have to agree with that one because in talking with many of you from around the Mid-Michigan area throughout the summer, there aren't many positive reviews and expectations from the fans that I have talked to. I mean, heck, I was talking to the janitor here at WKAR not too long ago, and he's like, Al, I'm not feeling good about this year. This season for Michigan State, you saw what happened last year, 3-9, and they're so young. We've only seen Brian Lewerke in 2 starts, and I'm sitting there saying, yeah, I really can't argue with you there. I really can't. Nancy Negative, go ahead. I hear you, man. It's really tough to look at 2017 and say as a Spartan fan, I'm feeling good about this season, unless you are just the ultimate optimist. Puts in perspective, though, how really reactionary fans are. I mean, you look at things, just looking at the big picture, Mark D'Antonio has done a remarkable job here. I get it, though. This season will begin with a ton of question marks. A new starting quarterback who isn't proven. The Spartans don't get a lot back when it comes to the receiving core, losing their top 4 options, but do have young pups like Hunter Rison. He comes from good blood, right? Dennis Finley, Cam Chambers. Really excited to get out on the field. Have to mature quickly, though. Got to mature quickly. When it comes to the defense, I mean, heck, the weather in Michigan is more predictable than how that side of the ball will play in 2017. Just don't know. Question mark after question mark after question mark after question mark. MSU loses 5 of their top 7 linemen heading into 2016 and now have 5 of their top 10 gone going into 2017. The secondary, which was a huge letdown last year, giving up big play after big play. That secondary has to now replace 4 of its top 5 players that really didn't make a lot of noise last year, but still. A lot of turnover. MSU didn't have a pass rush last year, and there are question marks about that as well this season. So I get it. But 115th, I'm not buying 115. I'm just not. I mean, the Big Ten, I mean, just I want to just kind of go through how the rankings stacked out. Just in the Big Ten. Ohio State is actually numero uno on this list. So Ohio State fans are the happiest college football fans, according to this study from ESPN. So, of course, Ohio State, number 1 in the Big Ten. Number 2, Northwestern. I don't know about that one, man. I don't like this ranking already, Isaac. 3, Penn State. I get that one, defending Big Ten champions. 4, Wisconsin. 5, Michigan. So Northwestern fans are happier than Michigan fans? That makes no sense to me. I mean, they love Jim Harbaugh out there. I mean, he's worshipped out there. Oh, okay, so Ohio State, Northwestern, Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan. At 6, you got Maryland. 7, Iowa. 8, Indiana. 9, Rutgers. Yes, 9 is Rutgers. 10, you have Nebraska. 11, Minnesota. 12, Purdue. 13, Illinois, and 14, yep, you guessed it, Michigan State University, as I talked about. So, I again, it's just to get people talking. It's a fun study. I've never seen a study done like this where they're ranking the happiness of a fan base. Again, I mentioned the criteria: program power, rivalry, dominance, coaching, stability, recruiting trend, revenue growth, and Twitter buzz. And program power out of a scale from, you know, all of these are from 0 to 100. Program power, MSU sits at 52. Rivalry dominance, an 8. Coaching stability, a 9. Recruiting trend, 36. Revenue growth, 62. Twitter buzz. I just laugh whenever I say Twitter buzz. Twitter buzz for Michigan State ranked at a lowly 7. So how do you as fans measure happiness? Are you happy with the program? I'm sure you're not ecstatic with the program. Especially when you evaluate this offseason. This offseason was just, it was bad. Really, really bad. Negative headline after negative headline, right? And you combine that with a 3-9 year. I know you guys aren't happy. But are you the 115th unhappiest program in college football? I don't know about right that. I don't know about that. I just don't. Right now, though, the article is kind of validated a bit when you look at how ticket sales for Michigan State's first game against Bowling Green are panning out. Scott Pohl of WKAR emailed me a Groupon. No, not to get a discount at the local movie theater. No, not to get a discount on a round of golf here in Mid-Michigan. None of that. Shot me an email with a Groupon deal for Michigan State's first game against Bowling Green in less than 2 weeks, in which you can get a ticket to that matchup via Groupon for as low as $22. Just let that sink in. $22. So I guess this article is on to something here. And when it comes to the topic of coaching stability, I've roared this cry for quite some time now. But Mark D'Antonio is a coach that has led this program out of the abyss, taking over a program back in 07 that had 3 straight losing seasons. He has a 90-42 combined record and was 36-5 in the 3 years combined prior to last season. He has won 2 of the last 4 Big Ten titles. Yet Ohio State sits at numero uno on this ranking. Michigan sits at number 22. Heck, Rutgers ranks above Michigan State. MSU won the Rose Bowl in 2014, Cotton Bowl in 2015, made the college football playoff, won at least 11 games in 5 of the past 7 years. Yet coaching stability in this ranking sits at 9. That is what a 3-9 season does. A what have you done for me lately sports world. This is how sports fans are today. You know, when you hit a bump in the road, this is what happens. Loyalty, that's really become a foreign concept in the world of sports. I'm going to kind of piggyback off of the loyalty word later on this hour when we discuss the Kyrie Irving move from the Cleveland Cavaliers to the Boston Celtics. I mean, just superstars hopping from team to team to team left and right. I really don't understand that trade. But loyalty has really become a foreign concept in the world of sports, even when it comes to fan bases now. I don't know when you. This is pretty comical to me when I saw this, Isaac. I'm not. Are you buying that Michigan State is really the 115th most unhappy fan base in the country in the world of college football?
I'd buy unhappy. I certainly buy ungrateful. I think MSU's always fallen into that category. They've been spoiled, and I thought Mark Hollis's comments, not about the Nebraska game in particular, during that comeback where, of course, MSU students in particular left early, and there was talk about reducing the size of the student section and all of that, but at the same time, MSU students have always taken that privilege of leaving early from games. They're a little bit entitled when it comes to the success of this team because they come in only knowing a football team that has been excellent, not the John Smith days, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. They didn't go through the hard times, so they're used to D'Antonio's success, and that's become more so the whole Michigan State fan community. Not everybody, but as a whole, I do think that's the case right now. But to be 115th below Rutgers.
Come on, man.
I mean, Nebraska was low, too. If I was Nebraska, I'd be upset with that rating, saying, hey, did you forget about the success just a season before last year?
And Nebraska fans are so nice, man.
Yeah, they are.
They
sell out the game literally how many straight seasons, so that's absurd.
Yeah.
And then Northwestern, I actually get. But, no, I think this rating is full of baloney. I looked at the top 30, and, like, University of Texas, El Paso is up there.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, you kidding me? El Paso's happy? You kidding?
I don't know. When you're ranking, trying to rank an emotion is just comical to me. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's like, you know, if you break up with your girlfriend, of course you're going to be sad, right? But has anybody asked you to rank your sadness? On a scale from 1 to 10, how sad are you? I mean, ESPN trying to play psychologist here, right? I mean, it's like, sit on the couch. How unhappy are you? How do you rank an emotion? This index was created by Tiffany Kelly, blurbs by Seth Wilder, and also Tiffany Kelly. And it's really cool. They put a lot of time and effort into this. They even have animations. I don't even know what you can call these little guys, but they have like these little emoji figures that, you know, some are happy, some are sad, depending on the school. And they're rocking like the team color of your favorite school, depending on when you click on them. So check it out. It's an interesting ranking. But I do believe that if there's any conclusion that we can come to this, it's that Michigan State fans, for the most part, I believe, Isaac, are unhappy right now. They're not. When you talk about $22 on Groupon, I don't remember Michigan State football tickets ever being on Groupon. I'm curious to see what the average attendance is at Spartan Stadium this year when you have everything that has taken place dating back to this past season, I should say.
And that student section, too, as I mentioned.
Right, right.
That might not go all the way, even for the first game of the season. Prepare yourself for some open seats, because that's certainly a possibility, but you're absolutely right. Nowadays, you've probably got to pay more for your parking permit on campus to actually get to go to the game than you do a ticket. That shows the state of this team.
Thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, again, we are continuing our week-long high school football special by inviting new head coach at Lansing Everett, Mr. Chad Foster. He'll talk about trying to fill some big shoes as Marcel Carruthers now makes a transition as principal over at Lansing Eastern High School. That and more. Don't touch that dial. Don't you do it. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up segment A discussing an ESPN ranking that actually ranked the unhappiness, or I should say the happiness, of college football fans across the nation. Michigan State coming in at 115 on that list. 115 out of 128 schools in the FBS. What are your thoughts on that? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And not too long from now, we are also going to talk about the blockbuster deal that was done yesterday in the National Basketball Association concerning Kyrie Irving, which it's a move from Kyrie that I just don't understand. I just don't get sometimes today's 2017 athlete. I mean, isn't the goal in sports to win, right? Winning should trump everything. But, you know, there's some athletes out there who have big egos. Well, I shouldn't say some, many athletes out there, especially in the National Basketball Association, who have these huge egos. And, you know, Kyrie, you know, deciding to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have been to the NBA Finals 3 straight years and actually won 2 seasons ago. You know, this move tells me that he just wants to be the guy instead of giving himself the best opportunity to win. I still believe with this move, short term, Cleveland is still the better team. Long term, okay, you can probably, Boston's on the come up. Don't get me wrong here. Short term, no, LeBron James and Cleveland still rule the East with this move. Kyrie would rather be the guy, though, instead of giving himself the best opportunity to win. I mean, and heck, all of the rumors about LeBron James after this upcoming year, going to L.A., moving to the Lakers. I mean, Kyrie, you could have been the guy. Just wait it out one more year. Give yourself the best chance to win another NBA championship, possibly. And then wait till LeBron to leave. And then it's your team. I don't get it. Let me just shut up. I'll get to it later on in the show. Let's go to line one right now. Mike from Saginaw before we get to our guest for today's show. Mike, what's up, dude?
What's up, man? You know what Kyrie Irving's problem was? The reason why he wanted to get traded?
Why is that?
Number 23 is LeBron James.
Yeah, I know. They got some beef.
You know what?
Right.
LeBron is only going to take so much. And then LeBron could, you know what? They fired coaches. They fired general managers. Guess who's still there? LeBron James.
I hear that, Mike. But you know what, man? What gets me, you know, in today's world, you are going to work with people that you don't like. All right? Mm-hmm. You're going to work. You're going to have employees that you may not get along with or may not have the best relationship with. But you know what? You're a professional. At the end of the day, you go to work every day and you have to do your job. I don't care about the beef. At the end of the day, if you're winning basketball games and the job is getting done, what's the problem? I don't know, man. It's a glimpse into today's millennial world.
LeBron is the Mac of the year.
Yeah.
Dan Gilbert, LeBron is the Mac. He runs the whole Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Get used to it. And if Dan Gilbert can't please LeBron James, is this year coming up, the Dan Gilbert be right back to where he started from with those number one first-round drafts, first-round picks. You know that. We know that. What other players that got your team to the finals? Mm-hmm. LeBron never had an off-season. He was always in the finals.
Yeah.
Always.
I just don't get it. And I understand LeBron. Yeah, he's been a head case for a while now. I mean, he's the guy. He's the coach. He's the GM. He's everything for every team that he's played for sure. And looking at LeBron James, what do you think, Izzy? Do you think he's happy about this move? I don't think he's happy at all, man. I don't know.
I think it's up in the air. When Kyrie asked for the trade, I think he was definitely upset about it. But seeing what they got in return, he's got to be happy. It's a great return.
You know who they got right. That they really needed, too, is Jay Crowder. Because Jay Crowder can play on the defensive end. They don't have no stoppers, man. Everybody there is offensive players, man. They needed a stopper because Kevin Durant exposed him. You know that he exposed him on the championship.
Mm.
Now, you asking any player, that's a big task to stop Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant ain't never been stopped since he's been in the league. So
I hear you.
They got some guy who can play some defense and six guys, you know. But if you're playing for an NBA championship, Golden State is just right now.
Yeah, that's another thing. I'm going to make that point. And thanks for the call, Mike. Really appreciate it. I'm going to make that point later on in the show. You know, when it comes to the Warriors, I mean, the Golden State Warriors are still the best team in the league. But thank you, Mike, for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports. He is sitting on line two as we speak. I'm excited. I cannot wait for tomorrow night because tomorrow night marks the official start of high school football here in this great region of mid-Michigan and throughout the state for that matter. And did you see this really cool thing that's happening at the Big House, Isaac? There are a few teams across the state who will be opening their season at the Big House out in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I think it's really cool, man.
Saw that a few months ago. Great way to bring more publicity to the high school scene.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And speaking of the high school scene, you guys know we have some great teams that come out each and every season from this area and make great runs, deep runs when it comes to the state finals. And, you know, I'm particularly intrigued about this upcoming school we're going to talk about right now with the new head coach of the Lansing Everett Vikings, Mr. Chad Foster, because, you know, you look at Lansing Everett. Now, last year they went 2-7, 2-5 in the CAAC Blue. And I tell you what, Marcel Carruthers did one fantastic job throughout his tenure. They had some great years. It was an up and down roller coaster, but for the most part, the Vikings were competitive throughout the tenure of Marcel Carruthers. And now You have Chad Foster, a young Chad Foster, that now steps into some pretty big shoes as Carruthers, who was inducted into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame this past summer. Carruthers moves on to become the principal at Lansing Eastern High School. And now Chad Foster, who played at Everett High School from 03 to 07, steps into what I saw him quote as his dream job. To talk about this upcoming year for the Vikings, we have Chad Foster on line two right now. Chad, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the introduction. Looking forward to getting our season started tomorrow. So just trying to polish some things off before we get that going.
You got it, Chad. First off, man, before we start talking about the expectations and the X's and O's for the upcoming Lansing Everett football year, I want to talk about you entering your first season as the head coach over at Everett. How long have you been eyeing this job, and why is this your quote-unquote dream job?
I guess you can say I've been eyeing this job since I was probably about 5 years old. I used to come to games as a young boy with my dad, and I was a water boy, I think, from the time I was probably 8 years old. And then Coach Carruthers took over when I was about, I want to say about 10 or 11 years old, and I was always on the sideline and around practice. I know there's a lot of kids' goals to play in the NFL and go to play college football, but my goal was always to be a football coach, and for a long time it's always been to be the head coach at Everett. It's just my family's been around here for 20 years. My brothers went here. My mom is the head of our booster club. My family just in general has a ton invested into this place. So when I say it's my dream job, it really is. It definitely has been a tough 3 weeks. Learning a new job and doing new things, but it's been probably the three greatest weeks of my life being able to be the man at Everett.
So I can tell Lansing Everett means a lot to you, right, Chad?
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, I graduated from here. My brothers have. I have tons of connections in the community with my friends who have graduated from here. It's done special things for me, and I will say I'm the man I am today because of what Everett High School has done for me.
Chad, when making this adjustment and now really, you know, Lansing Everett moving into a new era with you as the program's head coach, when was the moment where you knew that this could possibly become a reality for you?
I think the day that I sat down with Coach Carruthers and he let me know that he was leaving to take the head job at Eastern High School, as soon as it happened, he could see, I was upset. I was sad. He's been a big mentor for me. I've known him. Like I said, his mom worked at my elementary school. So my grandfather actually was his Little League football coach. So wow. I've known his family, known him for a long time. So to see him go was obviously definitely sad. But he could see it in my face right away that I knew it was a good opportunity for me to try to take a chance to be the head football coach here. So with me being the athletic director, I kind of had to take a step back and let the people downtown administration kind of take over the role of hiring the coach. And my goal always as the AD and being an Everett alum was to find who they thought was the best guy for the job. And luckily, that guy ended up being me.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic, Chad. And, you know, and how do you balance that? I mean, you are the full-time athletic director at Lansing Everett and now head coach of the football team. I mean, what's that like? Your schedule has to be bonkers right now.
I mean, I usually get to work about 7, 8 a.m. in the morning and usually here to about 8 o'clock at night, maybe longer some days. It's just about balancing your schedule. I think the biggest thing that I've done is put people around me or have people around me who are always there to help, whether it's AD side. I have a great athletic director, assistant. I have great assistant coaches. I have tons of students who are always around to help me. So it's kind of just trying to balance, making sure I'm taking care of both programs, both athletics and also football. And it has been a long 3 weeks. I will say I work about 12, 13 hours a day, but there's no other place I'd rather be.
Chad, you spent 9 years as an assistant coach. What did you learn during that time under Marcel Carruthers?
I think how to treat kids. Coming in 9 years ago, I was 19 years old to try to coach 18-year-old kids. And, you know, obviously when you're younger, when you're 19, 20, 21, you're a lot more, I don't want to say passionate, but you just haven't learned how to control your emotions as well as you do when you become older. So I think he just taught me how to control my emotions, how to relate to kids, how to, you know, treat kids differently but also the same as in, you know, it's not always going to be people are put in different situations, things like that. I think that's the biggest thing, was just learning how to deal with people, you know, be that political side, make sure that you are communicating with administration, with parents, with players, with your assistant coaches. He taught me the game of football. Coming in as a freshman, I knew football pretty well, but a lot of the things I'm doing as a coach this year are things that I learned as a freshman football player playing varsity for Coach Carruthers. So I would say that the biggest thing is how to treat people. Everyone, I don't think there's a person around who has actually met Coach Carruthers that wouldn't agree that he's a great man. So just learning that tool from him, how to communicate and how to treat other people.
Chad Foster, first-year head coach at Lansing Everett High School. And, you know, to kind of piggyback off of that, Chad, I mean, you're 28 years old. I mean, you know, with that being said, I mean, relating to your kids, to your players, is something that is a bit seamless in comparison to other coaches in the area who are more seasoned, let's say. How does that give you kind of an advantage? And you know, being able to relate to these kids, seeing as though you're young, pretty young yourself.
Yeah, I think just, you know, we have, I don't want to say the same interest, but, you know, obviously I grew up in the technology age, so I understand Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, them kind of things. So understanding, you know, what things they go through on social media is a big piece. It is a big piece of their life, and it also is a big part of mine. I went to Everett, so it's just awesome that I was only here 10 years ago. It's actually my 10-year reunion this year. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the teachers that they have, I had. So when they say this teacher does this or does that, you know, I can tell them, like, well, I was in their class 10 years ago. I know how they are. I know what goes on. So I think just knowing that I'm from here, I grew up right down the road about 5 minutes away. Like I said, I'm from the South Side. I know a lot of their family members, older brothers, uncles, aunts, things like that. So I think they just understand that I've been through what they're trying to get through. I've been here and I graduated and just being able to relate and know what goes on in the city is helping out a lot.
Wow, 10-year reunion. Mine is coming up next year, Chad. So yeah. So I'm guessing you were 07, right? I was 08.
Yep, 07, yep.
There you go. Chad, and you talk about social media. I mean, how closely do you monitor, if at all, your player's social media accounts?
It's pretty simple these days. I mean, we have our high school Twitter page. But if one of my athletes or in any sport are putting things on the internet, and we talk to all our kids before the season starts, we see it. If it's not I see it, somebody will send it to me, whether it be another teammate, another classmate, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a parent. Usually if something's put out there that's not supposed to be out there, it somehow finds its way to me. We just gave our freshman orientation speech, and that was one thing I kind of harped on, is 99% of the things that happen on social media through Everett, somehow I see it. So I don't really try to monitor them. I let them know that I'm probably going to see it. But for the most part, we've had a pretty good job with what goes on social media. So I think that stressing that to the kids that, you know, who can see it, who can't see it, things like that, I think it's been a good success for us.
Well, it's good to know that you're watching in some way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah.
So they're cautious.
Always,
right? Again, we're talking with Chad Foster, first-year head coach at Lansing Everett High School. All right, let's dive into the X's and O's before we get you out of here, Chad. Again, you know, Everett saw some success during the tenure of Carruthers, and you know that included 2 9-win seasons. The program's 2-7 finish last year was the worst since 2010. Chad, how do you go about turning that around?
I think it's just my big thing when we started this year, and our kids hear it every single day, is we're getting back to the roots that Coach Carruthers set, you know, 15, 16, 17 years ago. Getting back to being super disciplined, making sure we're carrying ourselves the right way, making sure that we're on time to practice. When school starts up here in 2 weeks, we're on time to class. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And then the conditioning part. I've been a wrestling coach. That's where I got my first start here at Everett, and I was the head wrestling coach for 6 years. So I'm a big guy in conditioning. We've ran a lot. We've done a lot of things to get ourselves into shape. With only having 29 guys on our team, you have to be able to play both ways. You have to be able to play special teams. So my two big things hitting now is getting back to, you know, getting back into shape, being conditioned, and getting back to the discipline that I know our kids can have. It's just us as coaches holding them accountable and making sure that, you know, we're checking up on it and making sure that the kids are doing the right thing.
You return three starters on offense, six on defense. A lot of turnover for your team, Chad. What's preseason camp been like, and what are you working on? What's going to be the identity, you think, when it comes to your team?
I think our chemistry is our biggest thing right now. Our kids seem to like each other. I always tell people when they say, well, yeah, you lost a lot of people. Sometimes that's not a bad thing. Obviously going 2-7 last year, there's reasons why you go 2-7. So being able to, you know, get new faces in here, get kids who are hungry, who might not have played a lot last year, who were on JV, I think it's good. Like I said, this is probably the hungriest team we've had here in a long time because they just want to be able to prove themselves and show that they can do things. So I think that's one of the biggest things. Our identity is going to be, we have a lot of speed. We have a lot of athleticism. So getting people one-on-one. We have a young quarterback, so trying to get the ball out of his hand as quick as possible. Again, I always tell everyone, or I've been telling everyone, is we're not young. We're just inexperienced. We have a lot of seniors and a lot of juniors who haven't played that much.
Mm-hmm.
But they're older. They're 17, they're 18 years old. They've been around football their whole life. They're just new to the varsity football game. So I think just trying to get that, put them in the right places and get them comfortable playing varsity football.
Yeah, sophomore Dayton Jones looks to be your team's starting quarterback heading into week one. Chad, a few other key players that you think can have an immediate big impact for your team?
Definitely Dayton Jones, as you just mentioned. We're going to continue to spread the field and spread the ball around, and that's not going to change. Me and Coach Krillis have kind of created the offense here over the past 10 years since I've been coaching, so that's not going to change. So as he goes, we go. I kind of tell him every day. Noah Smith is a junior. He's going to be our starting running back, and he'll also play on the defensive side, kind of be the leader of the defense. Going to try to get the ball to him as much as we can. Kewan Parker and Devin Salam are our two inside linebackers who are both returning from last year's team. They were both high up on our tackling list last year. So we have a lot of people back on defense who made a lot of plays for us. It's just kind of trying to put the offense together and put them in best positions. But them three right now are kind of three that kind of stand out, or them four, and we'll see. Hopefully they can lead us where we want to go.
Lansing Everett will open up the year tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at home against Holland West Ottawa. What can we expect in that game, Chad, and what kind of team is Holland West Ottawa?
They're a bigger team, coming from the west side of the state. It's actually funny, my junior senior year, we played them week one. So that's the last time I saw them play, as I was actually on the field. So we went down and watched them scrimmage, and they have a really nice quarterback who likes to throw the ball around. They have a Division I receiver. So, you know, just trying to make sure that we're doing our assignments on defense and on offense. They're a very good team. We all know that the west side of the state is very talented over there, but you know, we're trying to show them what we can do over here in the middle of the state.
Yeah, and the last time you guys played Holland West Ottawa, that was, yeah, as you mentioned, back in 06. That was a win on August 25th of 2006, 22-17 in favor of Lansing Everett. Well, I'll tell you what, Chad, I'm so excited and happy for you, my man. We're wishing you good luck in week, I should say in year one, and we're wishing you luck in week one tomorrow night against Holland West Ottawa. Do a great job, my man.
All right, thanks for having me on, and as always, go Vikings.
All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will chat briefly with Jason Fuller, who will give us an update on a very cool charity, golf charity endeavor that will be taking place in now less than 2 weeks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished chatting with Chad Foster, first-year head coach at Lansing Everett. Very impressive conversation here. I feel like Chad, you know, he's been around the program since he was like 5 years old, Isaac. I think this is a good hire.
And that's the thing. Even though he's a younger coach, he's got all the experience that you'd want with these guys. He knows the team going in. And sometimes this youthful exuberance and enthusiasm that's instilled into a program with a young coach makes all the difference in the world. Look at Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, not the most mature hire that was available. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, somebody who knew the program and could build it from the roots up.
Let's go to line one right now. We have our dear friend Jason Fuller, who will tell us about an event that is, again, right on the horizon, the 2017 Patriot Golf Day Shootout. Jason, I'm not giving you much time, man. We only got a minute, but go ahead and tell us about the event and give us a brief update on what's been happening in the last few days.
No, right. Well, right now we are up to $350 raised, so we're getting closer to that goal that I want to be at of $1,000, but we're not there yet.
right.
But what this is, it's the Patriot Shootout, as you said, Al. It does provide, it's for the Folds of Honor Foundation, which provides educational scholarships to the spouses and children of those we've lost or those that have been severely wounded in battle. And it doesn't have to be the current war on terror or anything. There are recipients from the Vietnam War and stuff where they've got them. Even some grandchildren have got some stuff. So it goes across the board, but it is a PGA Tour style event that we will be playing up there. And I hope you're all ready because we're heading up on Wednesday next week to go.
Oh, man, I can't wait, dude. It should be a great, great time. And I tell you what, it's pretty elaborate, too, because it goes from Thursday to Sunday, I believe, right? It
goes from Thursday to Sunday, yes.
Gotcha. And how can people get involved if they want to get involved, Jason?
The registration and everything to get involved, to play in it and stuff, ended about a month ago. Kevin cut that off. But if anybody wants to get involved in it and help support the Folds of Honor Foundation, go to Al's current sports page there on Facebook. And the link has been shared there with my fundraising effort, the link right to the fundraising page that is set up with my name on it, as I'm playing in honor of Colonel Terry Fobbs, who used to be a brigade commander from the brigade that I was just recently deployed with, that passed away a few years back while he was on an MRI table, unfortunately. But he was a good friend and mentor of mine. But if anybody would like to find out more about it, just go to the Treetops webpage, go to their golf, scan down to where it talks about events, Patriot Golf Day. You can find all about it, and then you can see the different soldiers and veterans family members that are playing, and you can click right on my name there to hit donate now. Kevin hasn't updated the page. It only says $50 right now, but I know there was a $300 payment made the other day.
Okay.
That I seen. So.
All right.
But we're looking, and I can't wait to talk to you again here this next week before we get ready to go up.
Jason Fuller. Jason, thank you so much, my man.
All right. Be easy, man.
All right. Yeah, speaking of be easy, people. We'll see you tomorrow. We will have Jeremy Miller, head coach of the Pouamo Westphalia football team, on Current Sports. Take care, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.